Hi, Borrowed listeners. It's Krissa.
And Dadra.
And we are here in your ears in between seasons to bring you a little civic PSA, a bonus episode from Borrowed.
It's the start of summer, which means block parties and beach trips and also big, big primary elections here in New York City.
That's right. Starting on June 12th all the way through June 22nd, registered Democrats and registered Republicans are going to cast their votes for our next mayor, our next borough presidents, our city council members, our public advocate, our comptroller, and a few city judges. The general election will still be in November, of course, but since New York City has a strong majority of registered Democrats, the primary election is seen by many as the deciding election for the city's top positions.
And there's something new about voting this year. This will be New York City's first election where voters will get to cast their votes for up to 5 candidates for each position. It's called ranked choice voting, and it's so exciting that we decided to bring you an off-season episode to talk through some useful information about the process.
So, today on Borrowed, ranked choice voting.
Have you spoken to many people today?
Yes, surprisingly, yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
On a sunny Saturday morning in May, Alan and Joan stood outside BPL Central Library to get the word out about ranked choice voting.
And there's been a lot of families, a lot of seniors that have been walking about, just enjoying the sun. So yes, we've been engaging quite a few people.
Joan is the Civic Engagement Committee Chair for the Brooklyn NAACP. Her job is to get as many people educated as possible about ranked choice voting.
The reality is it's here. So the people have spoken, they voted for this new concept to make it possible for us not to just have a plurality of votes, but to have a majority of the people speak and indicate which candidate they want. So I am here because I want to make sure that all of our people know exactly what needs to happen when they get in the voter booth.
It's a vast improvement over the old style of voting, the one that most people are more accustomed to.
Alan is a volunteer with Rank the Vote NYC, and he's tabling that Saturday in May because he believes ranked choice voting is a better, more equitable way to run elections.
You don't feel like you're wasting your vote if you can vote your conscience, even if it's, say, you know, a third party candidate, somebody who doesn't, who you wouldn't think would have a great shot. You can vote for them because that's who you want to vote for and have a second choice, a third choice, etc. And your vote just goes further.
So we've been saying the term a lot, but, you know, what is ranked choice voting and what do we need to know before we head to the polls between June 12th and June 22nd? Well, we decided to bring in an expert to help us answer a few questions. Joining us now is Jan Combopiano. She's Senior Policy Director and Executive Committee Member for Brooklyn Voters Alliance. Welcome to Borrowed, Jan.
Thank you for having me.
So, what is ranked choice voting?
Ranked choice voting is a method of voting that has been around for more than a century. It might be new to us in New York City, but it's not new around the world. And what it means is instead of only having to vote for one candidate per race, you get up to 5 choices, and they are ranked in order of preference from 1 to 5. And the tabulation of the votes happen in rounds. So whoever might win the most first place votes, unless they get 50% plus 1, there will be additional rounds, and the people who came in last in that choice, their second, third, fourth, and fifth place choices from those folks will get reallocated until it's down to 2 people, and one of those people is going to get 50% plus 1.
Oh, wow. Very knockdown method. So then, can I vote for one candidate 5 times?
Well, technically you could, but it's only going to count once. So what we would say is please don't do that. If you want to influence who makes it to the end, then you really should use all 5 of your choices. on different candidates.
But what if I only like two candidates?
So what we would say in this method of voting is you have an opportunity to have your voice be heard, right? In the past, we have sometimes kind of gamed it out as a voter and we're like, I love this person. They are never going to win. I can't vote for them. And so we've picked someone else. With ranked choice voting, we get to vote in the ways that we want and that matter to us. So what we would say is your first choice should be the candidate you love. This is the person in an ideal world you want to see win. Your second and third choices should be the candidates you like. And four and five are the candidates you can live with, right? You never, never, never have to vote for a candidate you hate. And please don't do that.
Thank you.
Scaling back a little to get a bigger picture on this, why is this happening this year?
Because we all voted on it in 2019 as part of the city charter referendums. And so we're using it for the first time in 2021 because that's the next municipal election that we have. And for this year's elections, it's not for the judges or the DA or the district leaders or anything like that, because technically those are state positions and the state gets to determine the method of voting. And so far, New York State has not decided on ranked choice voting. There is only one state in the country that uses ranked choice voting for all their elections, and that's Maine.
So how is this year going to change New York City politics? How do you predict ranked choice voting affects the political landscape here in the city?
Ranked choice voting means the candidates have to ask everyone for their vote. In our typical way elections work, candidates only need to get their people to come out and they can just ignore everyone else. But in ranked choice voting, it's not enough to just be on that ballot and first choice. You need to be on other people's ballots in second, third, fourth, and fifth to keep your candidacy alive through all those rounds of tabulation. It also leads to a lot more diverse elected officials, because people will go look at someone. Maybe they didn't vote for them in their first choice, but they're willing to put them second or third. And in our traditional way of voting, it's either one or nothing, right? And so people who might not get a second look might get discouraged from running for office at all. Whereas in ranked choice voting, even somebody who might not win can build support for their ideas and go on to do something else in a way that we just don't see in traditional methods of voting.
Thank you. And lastly, what's one thing that you want to leave listeners with about city elections this year?
Local elections matter in such an outsized way. Are we going to break car culture in this city? Will we ever have affordable housing again in this city? Local elections is where it really counts, where your life is truly affected every single day. Everything that you look at, everything that you experience really has some connection to local elections. And we would say it's really important to vote in every election, but if you're only going to vote in one every few years, vote in your local. That's where it counts.
That was Jan Combopiano coming to us from Brooklyn Voters Alliance. Thank you so much, Jan.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know about you, Krista, but I definitely feel way more prepared to go to the polls than I thought.
Yeah, it was very helpful to hear Jan frame it as who do you love and then also who do you like and who could you put up with, right? Because it helps you think about this pretty crowded field of 13 people as just ranking them based on how much you're going to be able to live with what they want to do.
So before we go, there are a few things we wanted to mention now that we've got your civic ears. You recall that in our last civic update, we talked about the 2020 census, and the numbers are in.
That's right. And according to the 2020 census, New York State population grew by about 4% in the last 10 years. But because other states grew at a faster rate than that, we are going to lose a seat in the House of Representatives for a total of 26 New York reps after redistricting. So deciding how those seats will go, the House district lines are going to be redrawn later this year after the Census Bureau releases data on the local population changes.
Redistricting is going to happen at a local level too. Before the 2023 election cycle, some of the state's cities, counties, and towns will redraw voting lines, and New York City is one of them. So breaking down redistricting, each district has to have the same number of people, and in a city as densely populated as New York City, that means that district lines are sometimes drawn down the middle of a block. New York City's new mayor and city council will appoint a commission to redraw city council lines by the end of next year. And you can have a say in the process.
And the library is going to help. We are going to be hosting redistricting events in the coming months so that everyone in Brooklyn can see detailed maps of their districts and learn about the communities of interest in their neighborhoods. And while you're doing this, you should be asking yourself whether your district makes sense to you. Does it map to what you think of your neighborhood? Does the district divide over racial or ethnic communities in different ways? And are you happy with that?
Right. Districts should be designed not only to count people equally, but also to give minority communities a cohesive voice and reflect the values of different neighborhoods.
So if you have only one takeaway from this civic PSA, it should be that your voice and your vote really matter in New York City right now. So to really understand your ranked choice voting ballot, we recommend you go to electnyc.org to see who's running in your district. You can also check voter registration on that website, and you can find out where your early voting polling site is versus your election day polling site. All of that at electnyc.org.
And remember, the library has a lot of resources too. The deadline to register in time for the New York City primary is Friday, May 28th. So we are holding in-person voter registration events at Canarsie Library, Macon Library, and Central Library today and tomorrow. After the registration deadline, we will continue to run virtual ranked choice voting workshops. We'll put a link in our show notes so that you can find the dates and locations for those events.
And finally, we have been partnering with politicsny.com to host candidate debates for every city council race in the borough. So you can watch recordings of those debates at politicsny.com, and that'll help you get to know your city council candidates. We are putting links to all of these resources on our show notes page. So if you only remember one URL about your ranked choice voting options, remember bklynlibrary.org/podcasts.
Our show is produced by Virginia Marshall and written by Virginia Marshall and me, with help from Fritzi Bodenheimer, Jennifer Prophet, Meryl Friedman, and Robin Lester Kenton. Our music composer is Billy Libby.
Borrowed is brought to you by Brooklyn Public Library and is hosted by me, Krissa Corbett-Gavoris, and Adjua Aduse. And that's it for us for a little while, but we are going to catch you again at the end of the summer with an awesome mini-series about communities that built Brooklyn. We are so excited. You are not going to want to miss it.
Until then, remember to vote in the city primary on or before June 22nd.